Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
I didn't know what to entitle this morning's message, so I called it Missions Work is Important to God. I think it's so important listening to what we just heard. Person after person after person. God wants us to reach people one person at a time. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, this is where we are in our study of the book of Acts. It's very providential that we are here. In Acts chapter 11, God begins to show us not just what the great people were doing for him, but what every individual within the local church that was begun in Jerusalem were doing for him. Last week we saw this. Last week we talked about how to get involved in missions, and we said, number one, we need to begin with prayer. We need, number two, to surrender to the Holy Spirit of God. We said, number three, we need to determine to share God's word. We need to pray then for results that God will work through our lives. And then we need to step out on faith and say, God, what is it that you want me to do? I'm willing to do anything that you want me to do. And then we need to rejoice in what God is doing, and we will. As we listen to the stories of Brother Patterson this morning, you just have to rejoice. One child that was crippled gets saved, and God uses him to start seven churches that are reaching many, many people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amazing. What a terrific thing to be involved with, being part of seeing lives changed here and around the world. That is us just rejoicing in what God is doing. This week, we're going to see how God worked in the first church in Jerusalem and got them involved in missions. We're going to learn some things about God, and the first thing we're going to learn is that mission work is important to God. Mission work is important to God. Look what it says in verse 19. It says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the word of the Lord." Father, I pray that you'll just, as we examine these three verses this morning, just let us learn some things about you that will challenge our hearts to live to please you by being involved in missions. God, I pray that the truth that mission work is important to you will, God, just impress our hearts. And Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Anything you invest your money into today will be gone 50 years from now, except the work of the ministry. When you give to reach souls, you're reaching into eternity, and you are affecting eternity, and God wants us to understand that. Mission work is important to God, and we learn some very important things here. Look, first of all, I want you to see this, that God is sovereign. God is in control of everything. Since chapter 8 of Acts, Luke has been showing us what has taken place as a result of Stephen's death. So he comes now, he's shown us what happened in Saul's life. These were not ideal times. These were times of persecution. Saul, we saw, was a terrorist. He was somebody who was persecuting the church. He was against what God was doing. He was not we were not his favorite status. We were not somebody that he was not for the church of God, and yet God called him. Let's take a look at Saul's journey. He starts off in going from Jerusalem to Damascus. He gets up to Damascus. He's going there to kill Jews. I mean, to kill Christians. He's out after them. He gets converted. He wanders out into the desert. He goes out in the desert, and he's stuck out in the desert, and then comes back into Damascus. He's there for 3 years. And all of this we've studied. Then he makes his way back from Damascus to Jerusalem. When he gets to Jerusalem, that's not working out so well. They take him away to Caesarea, and he goes to Tarsus. All the time, as he's going through all this stuff, and persecution is following, and now it's coming after him. That which he was dishing out is now coming on him. He is now left. All of this is taking place because God cares about missions. That's what happened with Saul. Now, take a look at what happened with Philip. Philip, you remember, was there in Jerusalem. He had come there along with others for the Feast of Pentecost. Philip leaves Jerusalem. Philip goes up to Samaria after the dispersion. All of this is caused because Stephen is killed. Stephen is killed, and persecution arises, and people are thinking, where's God in all of this? Where's God in all of this? And yet, God is working. He worked specifically in Saul's life. It was through that persecution that Saul got saved, and Saul's preaching the gospel everywhere. Through the persecution, through the death of Stephen, by the way, when Stephen died, Jesus rose. He was at the right hand of God, sitting at the right hand of God. He rose to salute the death of Stephen. He allowed that. He was in control of it. You need to understand that. God's in control of everything. People say, well, look at this pandemic. Look, you go into the Bible and you will find out that every pestilence that comes, anytime there's this type of thing going on in the world, it's not coming from Satan. God's the one that's in control. God's doing what he's doing. God places us as his children in circumstances so that we can shine as lights in the midst of those things. So he is forced to leave Jerusalem. He goes up into Samaria. There's a revival in Samaria. He then leaves and goes down to Gaza. And through that, he preaches to the Ethiopian, who takes the gospel down to Ethiopia. He then travels to Astos. Then he winds up going up to Syria himself. Again, preaching the gospel everywhere that he goes. After that, we read the story of Peter. We go back and we've seen now what happened with Peter. Peter starts in Jerusalem. He goes to Samaria because Philip's up there in Samaria and nobody can believe what's going on. So he goes up to Samaria. Then he leaves Samaria, goes back down to Jerusalem. Then the Bible says he went everywhere preaching. Then after that, he goes up, he winds up in Lydia. We saw the miracle that took place there. He goes to Joppa. Dorcas gets raised from the dead. Then he goes up into Syria and he's there in Syria, and that's where the Cornelius gets saved, and that creates a huge uproar, and then he travels back to Jerusalem and explains himself, and we saw all that last week. Now, all of that, listen, in all of those travels of these, what we would consider pillars of the faith, these great men of God, these were leaders in the church. You say, wow, God certainly uses the leaders of the church, and look what they've done. But I want you to understand that God doesn't just use the leaders of the church. Those were examples God uses. But when we come to verse 19, he says, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution. See, he's talked about what Saul did. He's talked about what Philip's done. He's talked about what Peter's done. These are all things that are taking place at the same time. These are simultaneous events that take place in a period of 3 to 4 years. So he goes back now to Acts chapter 8. And he says, now look, this is what happened to everybody else. We've seen what's happened to Philip. We've seen what's happened to Peter. We've seen what's happened to Saul. But now, what happened to everybody else? What about you and me? The guys that were just coming to church there at Pentecost, what happened then to the rest of us? Here's what the Bible talks about. Here in verse 19, he talks about the rest of us. Now then, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, that is all of them. Everybody but a few apostles were left in Jerusalem. So everybody scattered. They traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. Verse 20 is very important. But some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they came to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the word of God. So let's first of all look at where they're from. This is where people came from to come to Jerusalem for the feast of Pentecost. Some came from Cyrene. That's Libya. These were this is northern Africa. Some came from Egypt. Some came as far as from Rome. Some came from Asia, Pergia. Some came from Media. Some came from Arabia. They're all there in Jerusalem. These are people from every ethnic background. They're all there, coming there. Now, many of these were what we call proselyte Jews. They were men from other nationalities that had gotten saved and committed themselves to Judaism. So they come now for the Feast of Pentecost at Jerusalem, but then the persecution takes place. And so God scatters them. They're going everywhere. And he lists at least three places that they went. Go to the next slide. He says some went to Phoenicia, which is on the island of Crete. Some went up to Cyprus, and some went to Antioch. So the idea is they're going. These people from all these different places are going everywhere. And what they're doing is they're preaching the gospel. What I'm saying is this: God was in control of everything. God knew exactly what was going on. What did God want them to do? God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And in his sovereignty, he knows what we do. We sit back when things are good and we relax. We sit back and say, oh, finally. I that's why I have a recliner at my house. That's so I can go home and say, oh, I pulled that switch on the side of my recliner. One time I went home, I pulled that switch on the side of a recliner, and it was broken. What a miserable thing. I got it fixed, though. You go there, why? Because when you relax, you say, oh, that's wonderful. I can just do nothing. I want some amusement. You know what amusement means? Amusement means is taken from a word, awe, meaning no. Muse means to think, no thinking. That's what I want to do at the end of a hard day. They're going through struggles. When we're relaxed, when things are well, Charlie, when everything is okay, we sit back and relax. But when God stirs the pot, when things aren't going well, when things aren't normal, when things aren't like they were 5 months ago or 6 months ago, then I wind up saying, what am I supposed to be doing? Where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? And now it's not my plans. It's, what are you doing, God? And what God was doing in his sovereignty is he was motivating his people to get out and do what he wanted them to do. Why? Because mission work is important to God. Say that with me. Mission work is important to God. You didn't say it with much enthusiasm, but I know it's early. Let's say it together. Mission work is important to God. God sovereignly allows this to happen. God allows us to go through tough times because it's through those tough times we call on him, and mission work is important to God. What God is moving. Number two, I want you to see this. We learn this, that God wants the world to know about Jesus. God doesn't want just a few people to know about Jesus. God wants the world to know about Jesus. Look at these people. Look from all the places they came from. Look at that. And they're going to wind up going back there. Beyond that, if we went down farther on that map in Africa, we know that Philip sent an Ethiopian eunuch back to Ethiopia. And there was revival, or there was not revival, there was nothing going on there. He went down there and preached Christ, and the church of Ethiopia began. Wow. God wants to reach around the world with the gospel. They're all brought to Jerusalem to hear the gospel. God allowed the death of Stephen to get them to scatter so that others would hear. The question is this: what is God doing in your life to get you involved in missions? It's important. What is it that God needs to do to shake you and get you out of that broken recliner? What is it that God is doing in your life? By the way, let me say this. We don't have to go to the ends of the earth. We don't have to go. Jesus said, go into all the world. He was telling them to go into the world. They went. We don't have to. Because if you look at where Jerusalem is, and you look at where Nevada is, you'll see we're at the end of the earth. We're at the end. We're there. You and I are surrounded with a mission field, and God wants us to get involved in doing what He wants us to do right now. There are people everywhere all around us that want to hear the gospel. I was at the beginning of this week, I was at Ironwood Youth Camp. If you've never been to Ironwood, it's near Yermo, California. If you don't know where Yermo, California don't worry about it. Nobody knows where Yermo, California is. It's out in the middle of nowhere. It's right near Zeisig's Turnoff, or about 30 miles beyond Zeisig's Turnoff. There's nothing out there. Ironwood Camp is, you get off at Yermo, and you turn left, and you go down a dirt road, and you're out in the middle of nowhere. That's where we were there for our staff retreat to plan 2021. And I thought, I'd made a commitment at the beginning of this year, beginning of this month, that in September, every day I would give the gospel to somebody. And I thought, how in the world am I going to do that? Now, I could do that as I was driving there. I could stop. I could, but what about the day that I'm there all day long? There's nobody in the desert to give the gospel to. So what I did was I got up the next morning, and there was a need for water. So I drove back to a gas station on Interstate 15. When I walked inside, and I thought, nobody's going to want to hear from me. So I walked inside to that gas station to get some water, some bottles of water for us for our desert retreat. And when I walked in, I went to the counter. There's nobody at the counter. Nobody cares to help you. I could have walked out with several bottles of water and said, thank you, Jesus, and not paid. Now, nobody would have. I mean, there was nobody there. So I stood there, and I just sort of stood there looking like I am, intelligent and bright. And finally, a guy looked at me and said, oh, you need help? I thought, yeah, I need to be able to buy this stuff. And so he said, I'll be with you in a minute. And so he came out from behind this wall and came over to us. And his name was Sammy. And I said, I bought the water. And I said, I got one thing, but I'm getting three big cases of this water. And he said, okay, no problem. I paid him his money. I said, hey, let me give you something really good. He said, what is it? And I reached in my pocket, and I gave him a gospel tract. And he looked at it, and he said, a lot of people take them and say thank you and put it down. He looked at it and said, he read it. You can know you're going to heaven. Start reading it while I was right there. He said, you know what? I think... And he started having a conversation with me. He said, I think it's not if you go to church. I think it has to do with, like, knowing God. And I said, Sammy, you're right on. What you need to do is read that. Will you read that? He said, yeah. And he began to talk. I didn't take the time, because though there was nobody there when I started the conversation, people started coming in. And so I said, read that. And I said, remember this, you got a friend in Las Vegas, and anytime you want to contact me, contact me. And he said, yeah, we had a great time. So I got the opportunity. I'm telling you, they're everywhere. People are everywhere. You can find them out in the middle of the desert. They're waiting to hear about Jesus. God wants us to understand that He wants the gospel everywhere. Jesus said in Matthew, He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. God wants the world to know about Jesus. And the reason he wants them to know about Jesus is because mission work is important to God. Say that with me again. Mission work is important to God. You're not getting into this. Let's try it one more time. Mission work is important to God. What when we're talking about the salvation of one soul, the Bible tells us that one soul is worth the universe. Mission work, your soul, the souls of others is important to God. I want you to see the third thing that we learn from this passage, and that is that God wants everyone to have an opportunity to be saved. God wants everyone to have an opportunity to be saved. He wants your next door neighbor to have an opportunity to be saved. He wants your coworkers to have an opportunity to be saved. He wants the people in your neighborhood to have an opportunity to be saved. He wants Las Vegas to have an opportunity to be saved. And he wants people in Tlalpan, Mexico to have an opportunity to be saved. And he wants people in Africa to have an opportunity to get saved. And he wants people in India to trust Christ as Lord and Savior. He wants everyone to have an opportunity to be saved. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, he says, I exhort therefore that first of all, we saw this last week, supplications, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that is in authority. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who will have all men to be saved. You say, I know a guy who is so wicked and so vile, he'll never get saved. God wants him to be saved. In 2 Peter, the Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning this promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In 1 John chapter 2, the Bible says, and he is the propitiation for our sins. That is, he is the payment for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the entire world. God, we learn from this passage, because he sent them everywhere, God wants all men everywhere to be saved. God wants all men everywhere to be saved. You see, there is a literal hell where people will burn forever, separated from God. But even if there wasn't a literal hell, can I tell you this? God loves you. And if it was just that you were going to be separated from him forever, that would be enough for him to say, I want them to be saved. I don't want them to be separated. Mike walked in my office yesterday, him and Becky. I'm sitting in my office trying to get, making phone calls and doing stuff. They walked in my office, and my heart lit up. You say, why? Because I haven't seen them for so long. There's some people you just start a conversation with. It was like you would talk to them yesterday, even though it was 6 years ago or whenever it was that we talked. When you love somebody, you want to be with them, and you enjoy the time that you're with them. God loves us, and he wants people to be with him. He wants us to be saved, and he wants the world to be saved. That's why, let me say this again, mission work is important to God. Would you say that with me one more time? Mission work is important to God. We need to understand that. We need to understand that it's important because he wants all men to be saved. He goes to extreme measures. He is sovereign. He's the one's in control. You say, there's chaos in my life. Well, bow before the Lord. Say, thank you, Lord, for this chaos. And God, use this to show me what you want me to do for you. God wants us to be involved in missions because mission work is important to God. Fourth thing we learn about God is that God's plan for reaching man is to scatter his children. Let me read it in verse 19 again. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution arose. You see, they were scattered by God, but they obeyed God and they arose. See, there's God's sovereignty. He sent Jesus Christ. He is in control of the circumstances, and we look at the Word of God and get direction from God, and we look at the circumstances and allow God to direct us through those circumstances, recognizing that he's in control. Don't give the devil credit for anything. God's in control. God's plan for reaching man is to scatter his children. Jesus left heaven. Jesus left heaven to come to earth. The Bible says in Luke 16, in fact, he said about himself, he said, the Son of Man, Luke 19:10, he said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what Jesus came to do. That's why Jesus came, and that's why Jesus left us here. That's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. We are his ambassadors. We are his representatives. I met together with about 20 preachers yesterday morning for prayer, and I was so impressed that they were all, and they were not, they don't believe exactly the way we believe, but it was so impressive to me that they were all on their knees praying, asking God to work, recognizing that we are here to represent God. We are his ambassadors. God's plan for reaching man is to scatter his children so that we will go into the places there's darkness and they can see the light. In Romans chapter 10, the Bible says this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a wonderful truth. Can you say amen to that? It's a wonderful thing to know that all I had to do to get saved was call on Jesus Christ. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But look what else it says. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? If they don't know who Jesus is, how can they call on him? And how can they believe on him in whom they've not heard? If they've not heard about him, how can they call on him? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How does that young man hear unless somebody tells him about Jesus Christ? He sits in a prayer meeting and a preacher looks at him and says, give us your testimony. He says, I don't have a testimony. I'm not saved. And he gets saved. How shall they hear without a preacher? And then listen, here's where we come in. And how shall they preach except they be sent? See, he can't go to Mexico. How many churches were involved in sending you to Mexico? Okay, so six churches got involved in sending him to Mexico. How are they going to go except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. Look at that. Look at those beautiful. 19. So 19 churches were involved. Look at those feet. Beautiful feet. Can you say amen to that? They're beautiful feet. They may be big, but they're beautiful. See, because God looks at them and says, look, they went somewhere that others would not go. How shall they preach except they be sent? That's us. God's plan for reaching man is to scatter his children. So the persecution came so his people would be scattered so they could preach the word of God. I could tell you right now about a man and a woman that came here. They were not married. They got married. They became members of this church. They started growing and great things were happening. And then he lost his job. He lost his position. Things happened. And all of a sudden they had to get up and they had to root up and they had to leave. And I hate it when people leave. But I love it when I get a letter in the mail or I get on Facebook and I see how God put them in a place that needed them and their particular gifts, and God is using them in Texas to reach young boys and girls with the gospel of Jesus Christ where nobody was there to help. It's an amazing thing. God used the persecution. God's plan is that we go and preach the gospel. Then I want you to see this. This is really, really important, and I want you to see this in verse 21. We haven't read that yet. In verse 21, the Bible says, and the hand of the Lord. They went and they preached to the Jews, some of them. Others went and preached to the Gentiles. But here's what the Bible says about those who went and did what God wanted them to do. Those who got involved in missions. The Bible says, and the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great multitude, a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. I want you to see this. Because God cares about missions, I want you to see that God's hand is with those who get involved. God's hand is with those who get involved. The Bible tells us very clearly, these people went, the persecution didn't stop them, nothing stopped them, they were going to do what God wanted them to do, and the hand of God was with them. What does that mean? Well, that means, and we could go through a lot of different stories, we don't have time. Number one, it means his provision. God provided for them. The Bible tells us in Nehemiah that when Nehemiah went back to the to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, that the king granted me according to the good hand of God. God provided him everything he needed to do the work of God. We go out with nothing and we say, okay, God, I don't know how this is going to happen, but God, I'm going to get involved. I'm going to do what you want me to do. And God provides for us as we do. When my wife and I came to Las Vegas, we had no idea how God was going to provide for us. When our church started, you've heard me tell this, we had $14 in our bank account. And we took an offering that day. I'm so glad for that offering. And you can tell by just looking at me that I haven't starved over the last 43 years. It's amazing. Listen, his provision will be with those who get involved. Now, it also means his protection. The Bible tells us in Isaiah, the children of Israel disobeyed God, and so he wasn't answering their prayers. But Isaiah said, listen, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. God's hand is not shortened. They were disobedient. They weren't doing what God wanted them to do, and so he wasn't protecting them. But he said, listen, God's hand isn't shortened. You be obedient to God. You get involved in what God wants you to do, and he's there to protect you. It doesn't just mean his provision. It doesn't mean just his protection. His power. His power is available. These people, the Bible says, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed. The power of God was in their life. In Ezra, the Bible tells us this, when Ezra was going back to rebuild the walls, the Bible says, and I was strengthened by the hand of the Lord my God that was upon me. When the hand of God is on you, you have the strength, you have the power of God in your life to do that which you don't think you can do. His peace is there as well. His peace. We have the peace of God. We have peace with God when we're doing what he wants us to do. In Ecclesiastes, the Bible says there's nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul enjoy the good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. You see, there are people that are discontent. There are people who are wondering. There are people that are in misery. There are people right now, today, that are in turmoil because of the pandemic. But I want you to understand, when you're doing what God wants you to do, there's the peace of God. I spent about an hour and a half talking to a preacher yesterday, explaining to him where peace comes from. Peace comes from just doing what you know God wants you to do and leaving the results to him. That's where peace is. So not everything I want to happen is happening, but I'm doing what God wants me to do, and there's peace. So I can enjoy the fruit of my labor. I can enjoy my wife. I can enjoy my family. The hand of God is with us. The hand of God also means his punishment. He will punish those who come against his people. In Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible says, for indeed the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from amongst the host until they were consumed. God said, look, these people, this is when his children were doing right. When my children are doing right, when my children are there, doing what I want them to do, then I'm going to protect them from those who come against them, and those who come against them, my hand will be on them to punish them. Wow, it's a wonderful thing. So I want the hand of God in my life. What I'm saying is this: God allowed all of this to happen. God in his providence allowed what was happening. Why? Because he wanted his people to be scattered. He wanted them to tell other people about Jesus Christ. He wanted people to get involved. And when people get involved, his provision is there, his protection, his power, his peace, and his punishment on those who attack us are there. All of those are promises from God. God wants you to be involved in missions. God wants you to get involved in missions. Why? Because mission work is important to God. Say that with me one more time. Mission work is important to God. God wants you to be involved in giving to Faith Promise missions. Maybe God wants some of you to say, God, I'll surrender. I'll go to the mission field. God wants you to be involved in missions. By the way, missions doesn't start when we leave this place and go to another country, missions starts right here, right out your front door. There's people all around us. We need to give them the gospel. We need to share with people the truth of Jesus Christ. And God will give you an opportunity. So get involved in missions. Get involved. Make sure you get one of those shine prayer cards and that you start praying for what God wants you to do. I've been praying. God burdened my heart about a particular amount this week. And I said, okay, God, if that's what you want me to do, that's what we're going to give on a week-by-week basis to missions. What does God want you to do? How does God want you to be involved? You say, wait a minute, I've never been involved. Maybe you're like that young man that Brother Mike talked about. Maybe you're sitting here and you're hearing me talk about missions. You're hearing me talk about what God wants to do, but you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says we're all sinners. Because we're sinners, every one of us deserve to go to hell. But God loves us, and he doesn't want us to go to hell. And that's why Jesus left heaven, and he came to this earth. He was the Son of God. He was God in human flesh. He came to this earth for one reason. There's a punishment that must be paid for your sin. He didn't want you to have to pay that punishment. So he came, and he died in your place. He paid for your sins. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead, having paid for your sin. Now the Bible says, since he's done that, he went back to heaven, all you have to do to get saved is come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Please give me eternal life. The Bible says it this way, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've never done that, I would encourage you to do that today. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll help us to take the truth that we've heard from your word today. Help us to apply it to our lives. I pray, Father, that we would see how important missions work is to you. And I pray, Father, we will be involved here and around the world. And I pray, Father, if there's somebody here that's not saved, that right now they'll get saved. And I ask this in Jesus' name.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.